First John chapter number 2. We're going to begin reading in verse number 7. First John chapter 2, verse number 7. He says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." I've given this message tonight the title of Light and Love. Father, once again, I pray for your blessings on the reading of your word. And I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We've already established that John has written this letter for several purposes, which we've talked about already. The reason that he had to write was to give instructions to the church, to the believers there, because there were false teachers that were promoting their false theology. And let me say this again. Let me just stop right here. To me, this is one of the reasons why book studies are so beneficial, because like 1 John, when you are reading these passages of Scripture, understanding the backstory, if you will, understanding the historical context, understanding what's going on in the writer's mind, helps us to understand why we're reading what we're reading. They're dealing with issues. They're trying to teach people truth, to get them to understand truth as opposed to false. That's what John is trying to do with this book. And so you have these false teachers that are promoting their Gnosticism, their supposed spiritual enlightenment and attainment. They feel like they have just progressed to a higher level of spiritual life than other people have. Well, when you do that, here's the risk that's involved. When you feel like you have reached a greater spiritual level, when you feel like you have progressed further in your walk, that you know a little more than other people know, the risk is you become arrogant. You become exclusive. You become unloving. You're just better than other people. It's just one of those things that happens. It's the same thing with people who have never had any power, and all of a sudden they are given authority. All of a sudden they are given power. And that power and that authority goes to their head. And whereas they used to be just a regular old Joe or Jane, they're not that anymore because of that power that they have, that authority. And the same thing can happen with knowledge. Listen, Paul said himself, knowledge puffs up. That's the truth. It's the truth. And so John is writing to deal with these kinds of things. And this unloving, uncaring, exclusive attitude, John says, demonstrates that a person is not in Christ. That's what he is saying. Or at the very least, for that moment, they are not walking with Christ. Because a person who is walking with Christ never looks down on someone else. A person who is walking with Christ never exalts themselves. They are not full with pride. I mean, they may have moments, but they will come under conviction and they'll get that straight. And so John is saying here, when you're not loving, when you're not walking in the light, it is a cause for great concern. They both, light and love, are two characteristics that will be evident in the life of a believer because they are the nature of God himself. Okay? Again, what I said when I started this study in the book of 1 John, to me, this is one of those books that when you get through, if you will take it seriously, if you will digest it, you will consider it seriously, when you get through with it, you'll know whether you're saved or whether you're not saved. You'll know whether you're walking with Christ. This is not the deepest theological book that you'll read in the Bible. It's not just filled with deep theological truths like Romans or Ephesians, but it's extremely practical. Extremely practical. Again, like I said this morning, I felt like I belabored the point this morning, but let me say it again. Knowing whether you are saved or not is not subjective. It's objective. You can know simply by the way your life is lived. It will demonstrate. It's practical. And so we need to take a look at it. So, light and love. What I want to share about this tonight. Well, from this passage, consider this. First of all, light and love have been commanded by the Lord. For us to live in the light and to love has been commanded by the Lord. Verse 7. But brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Now, it is true, as you look at this passage of scripture, John does not explicitly say what this commandment is. As you read this, you will not see him say explicitly, this is the commandment. But, again, this is why you do Bible study. The context tells us that it seems best to see this as the command to love, because that's what he's going to be writing about and that's what we're going to be studying. It's about love. Now you notice he says here in verse number 7, this command that is not a new commandment but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. From the beginning of what? From the beginning of their Christian life. From the day that they got saved, this was something that they had been taught. You see, again, let's go back to the false teachers. The false teachers had novel ideas and teachings that weren't scriptural. But it was things that they were making up. John says, the commandment that I'm telling you about It's something that has been around from the beginning. It's not new, and it is not novel. There's an old saying where the gospel is concerned, if it's new, it's not true, and if it's true, it's not new. Somebody said, if it's contemporary, remember, it's just temporary, okay? It is something that had been around from the beginning, all right? Now, we know that the command to love had been taught by Jesus. Throughout the biblical text, love had been taught. In fact, Jesus said, ask what is the greatest commandment? It was the commandment to love. In fact, Jesus said in John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. We are commanded to love one another. And I realize that raises the question. I'm not going to deal with this tonight, but that raises the question, how can you love somebody that you can't even stand? Well, we'll get to that a little bit later, okay? But let me just say this. It all depends upon what your definition of love is. And what we need to do is go with the biblical definition of love. Amen. All right? I probably shouldn't have said that because I'm not going to go any further with that. But we will be dealing with that as we go throughout the book of 1 John. Jesus gives this command to love. But you can go all the way back over into the Old Testament. And you can find this command. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So the command to love is very clear in the Bible. And again, if you know anything about the book of 1 John, we're not through talking about love. We are going to deal with it again in the future. But make no mistake, we are commanded to love one another. One of the signs that we are in the faith, one of the signs that we are in Christ, is the fact that we love one another. The world will know that we are disciples, his disciples, if we have love for one another. Okay? That love is the identifying badge of a true believer, that we love one another. Okay? It's not anything else. It is love. But in regards to light, the Bible also commands us that we are to walk in the light. We are to walk as lights. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. He said, you once were children of darkness, but now you are children of light. So walk in the light. Walk in the light of the Lord. Don't obey the flesh. Don't walk in the lusts of the flesh anymore. Walk in the light. Let people see that there is a difference in your life. You should shine brightly. I should shine brightly for everyone that I come in contact with. When we talk about our purpose as believers, and many sermons have been preached on what is our purpose in life. What is it that we are designed to do? You hear a lot of preaching on television and on radio by, you know, some preachers that's always talking about your destiny and talking about your purpose and talking about your goal and you know, to live for what you were put here for. Fulfill your purpose. Fulfill your destiny. That's God's got a design for you, and this is what you are to do. And I realize all of us have differing gifts where we are able to serve the Lord in various ways. I understand that. But folks, for me, at the end of the day, my purpose in life, if I understand the Bible correctly, is that I am to walk in love. I am to walk in light. I am to allow people to see Jesus Christ in me. That is not an option. That I don't need to pray about that. I don't need to get folks to gather around me and pray about my purpose. What I need for you to do is you pray for me. God, help him to walk in love. Help him to walk in light. I am commanded to do that. That's what the Bible clearly says. I don't care what the false teachers say. I don't care what the evangelists out there say. I don't care what the TV preachers say. Our purpose is to walk in love. We are commanded to do so. We are to live as children of light. So the first point, we are commanded to love and to live in the light. Second point is this: light and love have been demonstrated for us. Verse 8, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. All right, John, are you schizophrenic or what? Is it new or is it old? Now, what is it? Now, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. Is it old? Is it new? Yes. Yes. The English Standard Version, I don't know if any of y'all have that tonight, but the English Standard Version translates this verse 8. He says, at the same time, he's already said, yeah, it's a new commandment, but it's an old commandment that you've heard from the beginning. But the ESV begins verse 8 by saying, at the same time. The Berean Bible translates it by saying, but then again, and the New American Standard translates it, on the other hand, it is a new commandment, even though it's been around the whole time. It's new. Why is that? Well, the word new there in verse 8 translates the Greek word kainos. Kainos speaks of being new in terms of freshness and quality. And not necessarily new in terms of chronology. You know, something that's just now coming on the scene. That's kairos. That's the Greek word kairos. This word speaks of freshness and quality. So even though it was an old commandment, it was also new in the sense that there was a new example and a new power to fulfill this command. Okay? You notice he says, which thing is true in him? He's talking about Christ. This was true, this commandment to love, this love that we're talking about was true in Christ. So even though the Old Testament taught the duty to love, as we see over in Leviticus, there had never before this time been such a perfect demonstration of love. Never had the world seen such a demonstration of love as the world saw and sees through the incarnation of Jesus Christ. God becoming flesh. He said, you've heard about love, but you ain't never seen love until you've seen Jesus. There's an old gospel song, until you've known the love of God. You've known nothing until you've known the love of God. I believe that's John's idea here, saying, yes, it is old, but it is new in the way that it has been demonstrated, and it is new that you now, as believers, have the capacity to be able to walk in this love. It was perfectly demonstrated through Christ. In fact, John MacArthur says this. He says, the newness is not in the command to love, but in the perfect manifestation of love in the person of Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Again, one of these verses that we'll look at a little bit deeper in the future. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, the propitiation for our sins. And this is love. You want to know what love looks like? Look to Christ, the one who was sent to satisfy and appease the wrath of God, so that God's wrath is not poured out on us, because Christ absorbed it. Again, let me say this. Folks, what are we saved from? We are saved from wrath. Yes, when somebody says, yes, I was saved from hell. That's right. You're not going to hell. Amen. Glory to God. But you were saved from the wrath of God through the propitiatory sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's love. That the world had never seen. Oh, they had seen fuzzy pictures. They had seen shadows in the Old Testament. They saw that in the sacrifices of the Old Testament. A shadow. But they had never seen the substance until Christ came. Because he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament sacrifices, we understand. Of course, y'all know this verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love, that God became flesh. His love has been demonstrated. We do not have to wonder what love looks like. But you notice verse 8, he says, which thing is true in him and in you. As believers, this love is true in you as well. Why is that? This love that we're talking about, agape love, sacrificing love, selfless love, is a fruit of the Spirit. It is something that the believer is capable of because of the fact that he is indwelt, she is indwelt by the Spirit. And now we have the capability to love others, even those who drive us bananas. That's the truth. I have the capability of being able to sacrifice for other people because of what Christ has done for me. It's available to all believers today. And again, why is this so important? Well, I mean, to demonstrate the love of God shows that we appreciate and we understand the love that God has shown through or shown to us. But also remember, love is the identifying mark of the believer, okay? We ought to be a congregation that loves one another. Sadly, all too often, and I'm just going to say this from Baptist, since I are a Baptist. Too often, we Baptists are known more for our fussing and our fighting. We are known more for what we are against than what we are for. And, you know, as important as the spiritual gifts are, and they're important, we need to use our spiritual gift. The greatest of all is love. In fact, y'all know as well as I do, spiritual gifts, like at Corinth, spiritual gifts, it was causing division in the church. Spiritual gifts and talents in the church today cause divisions. Well, y'all don't look at me like that. Y'all know I'm telling y'all the truth. People have different gifts. People have different talents. People have different passions. And sometimes those things just cause trouble. What do you do? What do you do? You love one another. You know why? Because that shows everybody else that we're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, help me. I'm serious, as pastor, I'm nobody here but us and the Lord. Yes, folks on watching on Facebook. God, help me to be more concerned about demonstrating love than getting my way. Help me to obey the command to love and to follow your example on how to love, because that's the greatest example that there is. He goes on to say, because darkness is passing away and the true light is shining. In the Gospel of John, John chapter 1 verse 5, John wrote this, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So this darkness that John is writing about in both the gospel and this epistle speaks of sin. It speaks of the absence of God, thus the absence of light. And this also includes the absence of love. And I would say to you tonight that this darkness, I do believe it represents sin. And I believe, maybe keeping it in context, one of the things John is referring to here is the darkness of the Gnostic teaching. The darkness of false teaching, which means that people are elevating themselves above others. That's darkness. He says here in verse 8, the true light is shining. Jesus is the true light, as opposed to all that is false. So John is teaching some very important lessons here, all while dealing with the false teachers who are promoting a different kind of knowledge or enlightenment. And this enlightenment that they are promoting leaves out loving one another. And doing so leaves a person in the darkness. So how do we love? We love the way that Christ loved us. That's the way we do it. Point number three. Light and love means being delivered. Verse 9, he who says he is in the light and hates his brothers is in darkness until now. Hate is in the present tense. That means it is an ongoing, continual hate. To hate means that a person does not love selflessly as Christ loves. To hate is the opposite of love, which means to treat others selflessly, to live sacrificially. We've already talked about what love meant. And to hate is to do the exact opposite to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now you notice what he says here. Now to me this is key. He says in verse 9, is in darkness until now. Okay? He does not say that this person was in the light and then fell out of the light into darkness. He is saying that this person has never crossed over into the light. Okay? It's not a matter of once saved and then lost. It is a matter of a person who has never crossed over into the light. Okay? It's clear that these are people who've never been changed. They've never had their nature changed. Okay? You know, over in 2 Peter, Peter talks about the old proverb that a dog returns to his vomit and an old pig just returns to his wallowing. And in that passage of scripture, Peter's talking about people who, you know, supposedly had some light. They had entered into the light and they had heard the truth and they understood, but before you know it, they'd gone back to their old ways. And some people would say, and I've even been questioned on that, that doesn't that mean that a person can get into the light, they can be in the light, and then they can fall out of the light? I say, no, no. Peter tells you right there that a dog returns to his vomit. In other words, a dog was an unclean animal in the Old Testament. What Peter is saying, their nature was never changed. That's why they go back to their old lifestyle. Because they were never changed. And I don't think that we in the church, this is not in my notes, but let me say this. I don't think that we do in the church right by just always saying because somebody came to church, because somebody was this and somebody was that, they've been saved. They've been saved. No, the Bible says that if you are truly saved, you will endure. There will be moments when you will stumble. But I don't think we're doing anybody any service to say, well, I'm not worried. I realize, you know, they've just kind of gotten off the beaten path. They're not where they need to be. But thank God, one time in Vacation Bible School, they prayed and they got saved. And you know what you do? You start praying, hey, God, bring them back, bring them back. Bring back the joy of their salvation. And you stop praying, God, save them because they're lost. They never understood the gospel. They never walked into the light. Because the truth of the matter is, the more funerals that I attend, not the ones that I preach, but the more funerals I attend and, you know, helping the funeral home, I've been to a lot of, I am absolutely convinced that a lot of people do not believe, even some preachers do not believe justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. I believe that they believe justification by death. To get to heaven, all you got to do is die. That's what you hear out a lot of preaching today. The Bible's clear. You become a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away. Will there be momentary times when you don't like somebody a whole lot? Yeah. But I believe the Bible teaches me that such is salvation, such is the nature of the salvation that God gives, that you will not be able to stay in that position very long. And while you do, you'll be miserable. Back to my notes. And I always tell you, that's free. I'm not going to charge you for that, okay? Is in darkness till now. That's like trying to get light and darkness out of the same heart. It's trying to get salt water and fresh water out of the same spring. It cannot happen. John says basically the same thing in verse 11. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. This is the man who stumbles because he does not know where he's going. And the reason he doesn't know where he's going is because he can't see. And the reason he can't see is because he's in darkness. By the way, we'll see this a little bit later on. John will later write that those who hate their brothers are murderers. Chapter 3, verse 15. And he says, no murderer has eternal life in him. So if you think I was just kind of talking off the top of my head, no, there's biblical support for what I will say. That's why I say it. Those who hate their brother do not have eternal life. But verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. To love your brother means that you're in the light. It also means that there's nothing in you that is cause for stumbling. Literally, that phrase could be translated, a stumbling block is not in him. Two interpretations of this. When we love others, we don't want to trip them up. We don't want to cause them to stumble. We don't want to do anything to cause them harm, either physically or spiritually. We want to treat others as better than ourselves. If I love you, then I don't want to be mean to you. I don't want to be hateful to you. I don't want to be ugly to you. I don't want to do anything to trip you up. If I love you, there's no cause for stumbling. I'm not going to do something that's going to trip you up. That's one way to look at it. Some would say what is probably meant here is that the person who walks does not stumble in himself. He doesn't trip up because he's in the light and he's able to walk according to the light. Regardless of which interpretation you take, walking in love, walking in the light is the safest way to walk. It's the way that we are commanded. It has been demonstrated for us, and it means that we have been delivered from the darkness. It is true, some people are hard to love. And as I bring this to a close, the old saying I love this says, to live above with saints we love, all that will be glory. But to dwell below with saints we know, well, that's another story. And all God's people said amen. Here's another one that I came across today. It says, I do not like thee, Dr. Fell. The reason why, I cannot tell. But this I know and know full well. I do not like thee, Dr. Fell. It's easy to get like that sometimes, isn't it? Because the old flesh just doesn't want to let go. But I believe the Bible is clear about how I am to live my life. I am to walk in love and I am to live in the light. And it doesn't matter what you say to me. It doesn't matter what you do to me. It doesn't matter how you treat me. My Bible tells me that I am to love you and to pray for you and to bless you. And my Bible tells me that if I cannot do that, then I need to go back and re-examine my faith. And I know what you're saying. You say, Brother Steve, I can't do that in and of myself. Not asking you to, because I know you can't, because I can't either. But the Holy Spirit can do that for us. And this is just one indication that we are truly children of God. And even the world can look at us when we do this and see they must be disciples of Jesus Christ. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to like it. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to embrace us, but they will see, hey, you see the way those folks love over there? They belong to that fellow Jesus. This is like Peter and John, when those religious leaders there in Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John were standing before them being questioned, and the Bible says when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and they realized they were unlearned, uneducated, untrained men, they marveled at them. They realized they had been with Jesus. And the same can be true for us when we love one another. The world will marvel and they'll realize that we've been with Jesus. Father, thank you.